What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Wizards podcast, brought to you by the Locked On NBA Network. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. I am your host for tonight's episode. I am Arthur Reynault. You can find me on Twitter at District Mamba. As I promised when Becca, Ian, and I took over the Locked On Wizards podcast, I wanted to put the spotlight on a side of Twitter that, you know, loves Bradley Beal, a side of Twitter that hates Bradley Beal, a side of Twitter that thinks Gortat is the best NBA center that we could possibly get, and then the side of Twitter that's actually realistic and knows that his value has kind of come and gone. I am joined today by one of Wizards Twitter's most opinionated fans. My guest today is Domo, and you can find him on Twitter at Domo_1986 in Roman numerals. If you are like me and you don't know about Roman numerals, it is Domo_LXXXV1. What's going on, Domo? Thanks so much for joining me tonight.
No problem, man. I appreciate you having me.
Awesome, man. All right, so before we get started, we have a lot of great topics for tonight. I want to introduce you to our audience. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your fandom. Tell us when you started becoming a Wizards fan and how was this past season for you?
All right. So again, my name is Domo. I've been a Wizards fan since probably 97-ish.
Okay.
I came into basketball, obviously, through MJ's Bulls. That's my favorite player ever.
Okay.
And then the more I played NBA Live 96, 97, I kind of transitioned into the home team. So Rod Strickland became my guy. Mitch Richmond, those dudes, man, those were my guys. So it's kind of just manifested from there. And yeah, and then so far on the season, I mean, it was, if you would have told me our best player would have missed 41 games and we still would have made the playoffs, I would have took that. But so I guess it was okay. I'll just say that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the attitude that I have about it as well. I mean, yeah, when we come back from our commercial break, we are going to get into some topics that Wizards Twitter loves. And with the draft coming up, we want to talk about some draft prospects with the NBA draft coming up decently soon, within the month. And also, Domo's ideal offseason. I've been giving some of our guests the GM title. You know, I wish most of Wizards Twitter could be the GM instead of Ernie Grunfeld. So we're going to hear his take on what he would do if he had control of the Wizards organization and was able to cater a perfect offseason. So we'll be right back after a message from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I am your host. I am Arthur Reynault. You can find me on Twitter at District Mamba. I am joined today by Domo, and he is going to break down some of his opinions on NBA draft and his ideal offseason. So our first topic, the NBA draft that's coming up.
Yes.
What are some of your, give us your top two prospects, so players that you think would be possible where the Wizards pick, and then give us maybe two trades that you might have either to move up or move down that you would like to see the Wizards do come draft night.
Well, I mean, I'm going to give you my top two guys that I think now are actually realistic, because the report I just saw came out today in regards to Michael Porter Jr. About something about him having some spasms, some back spasms.
Right.
He had to call out of a workout.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance he could drop. And I know I saw Woj was doing a draft special, and they actually mock draft him to the Wizards at 15. I thought then that was just ridiculous. But Woj knows. So
yes, he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's well connected. So if he says it, I'm going to put him down as a realistic option for the Wizards at 15. So he would be my number one.
Okay.
And then number two, I would probably go with Knox. I mean, it's a wing league.
Yeah.
Look at the last, I think, 9 or 10 finals MVPs. They've been wing players.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this league is. It's positionless basketball. You get a guy 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", that can handle, switch, shoot, dribble, pass. That's what you want. You can never have too many of those guys. So, yeah, Knox would be my number two behind Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm also a strong proponent for another wing because, I mean, you can never have enough of those. And we saw this past playoff run, you know, Otto Porter was shut down and, you know, it's just Kelly Oubre who was struggling that got more playing time. But then there's nothing behind Kelly Oubre. So, right. Yeah, I love those two ideas. I believe Ian Evans, one of the hosts of the Locked On Wizards podcast, has the Wizards drafting Robert Williams, which, you know, is a different angle, addressing a need in terms of, you know, a young center instead of these outdated dinosaurs that we have. But
yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, those two players you listed, I get giddy at the thought of Michael Porter. I saw that report, you know. Although it would kind of suck because then we have Otto Porter with his hip and then we have a player with his back and it's just like, you know, but you know, it everything fixes itself out in terms of injuries. What are some trades that you would want to see, like depending on how the draft goes, like if players fall, if players are there, or if, you know, you just want to get out of the draft and trade for a superstar? What are two trades that you are maybe thinking about in the back of your mind?
Well, as far as moving up, I just saw today that the Grizzlies were thinking about, were trying to dangle the number 4 overall pick in addition to Parsons to try to get rid of that deal.
Right.
And I looked and I saw Parsons' numbers from last year. They weren't bad. Like, he shot like 56% from the field, 40% from three. He just had a very low usage.
Right.
Now, I know he's making $50 million over the next 2 years, but I mean, that's basically what we're paying Otto. And if you have an opportunity to get a top 5 pick in this draft, I think you got to at least make the phone call. So I was thinking maybe if we did a deal, maybe either Oubre or Otto with our 15th pick to get up to get that number 4 and we would have to take back that Parsons deal. Something around that range. Because, I mean, if you get the number 4 pick, I mean, you got a chance at Luka Doncic. You got Mo Bamba, possibly.
Who would be your pick? Obviously, you know, kind of guessing how things go in front of you. But who would be your pick if we got that number 4 pick?
It would depend on who went top 3. I mean, if we're assuming the top 3, Ayton, Ayton, Bagley. See, that third one is a wild card. I'll say Jaren Jackson.
Okay.
I would probably at 4 for us. I would probably go Mo Bamba. From what I've seen from his shooting, and then that wingspan at 7'10", man, that's unheard of.
I mean, that badly on the Wizards. I was kind of hoping you'd say Mo Bamba because that's who I would do. That's who I would choose.
But yeah, I mean that's now you're talking about a guy that has potentially Rudy Gobert impact on defense, and he can give you some stretchability shooting the ball. I mean that's a game changer, man.
Right.
I mean, John Wall would average like 18 assists just throwing lobs.
Exactly. And you know, it pains me to say this. I haven't said this on the podcast yet, but NBA champion JaVale McGee is probably the last center that Wall has played with that was a lob threat. And, right.
I'm great. Think about JaVale, though. You can't play him 25 minutes.
Oh, definitely. You cannot.
25-plus minutes.
I just remember drafting John Wall and JaVale McGee, and when JaVale McGee checked in, I was like, yeah, like, here comes some excitement. Like, here comes some dunks, some blocks. And then, obviously, you get the stupidity that also came with JaVale McGee. Yeah, but
they were trying to have us Lob City East, I mean, with JaVale and Vesely.
It's a little tricky.
I know, but the thought process was to have some guys that could go up and play above the rim with JaVale and Vesely, where, you know, Wall would be able to just throw it to the rim.
Right.
We see how that turned out.
Yeah. This last topic, it originated with Mike Wilbon. He brought up the Wizards as a destination for where LeBron James is going to go, teaming up with two All-Stars. Obviously brings up the financial situation as something that might not, you know, that would prevent this from happening. But then again, it's Mike Wilbon. It's the same guy that, you know, at this point 2 weeks ago, was, you know, crapping on the DC fan base that we're all like, you know, we're a joke of a fan base. So this just seems like right. A way of like, oh, thank you so much, Mike Wilbon, for giving us hope. But what if there was some truth to this? Because I look at it, the Wizards have been telling themselves for a long time that they're the best team in the East, that LeBron wants to duck us in the playoffs. That's why they tanked, that, you know, we should have beaten the Celtics, and they're pounding their chest still that they should have beaten the Raptors and gone on. But what if LeBron James looks at the Wizards and looks at a team that underperforms against under 500 teams as a team that has two All-Stars, you know, both of them entering their primes, if not in their prime right now, and a city where a president is currently at the helm that you want to go blow for blow with, you know, in the boxing ring? Why not DC? What do you think? What are you buying any of this LeBron to DC? Give us your opinion. Is this all bull crap? What do you think?
I think it's all bull crap. I got a couple of guys I used to play some ball with that are kind of in the know, and from what I've been told, he's going to L.A.
Right.
With Paul George.
Yeah.
Just to entertain the idea of it, and this is something I had mentioned the other day on Twitter, I don't understand why D.C. isn't seen more around the league as a desirable destination. I mean, from a market standpoint, the culture around the city, I mean, everything about the nightlife, the private schools, all of that. I mean, I don't understand why it's not seen in that same category with New York and the Miamis and the Houstons and
right
the LAs. But
well, I would just argue real quick to that is that, like, the no sales tax for Florida and Texas, that's yeah, a pretty big selling point.
That's true.
And, that's true. You know, but no, I definitely agree. I don't understand. I mean, culturally, like, I'm, you know, I have a bunch of family in Peru, and you think of the United States, you think of Washington, D.C. You go to Virginia or Maryland, you're in D.C. So it's like, D.C. is a destination around the world, but for some reason in the NBA, it's not. But, you know, go ahead and keep this hypothetical. What is this LeBron situation that we're in?
Yeah, so I mean, we would have to work... Cap-wise, we would have to do some serious maneuvering, because I don't think it would be via sign of trade. I don't think LeBron is going to do Dan Gilbert any favors.
Right.
So it would have to be as an outright signing. And with our cap situation, I don't know how in the hell we would move 30s. Ooh, we have to move about $35 million in salary. And I just... To me, that would mean you're going to have to move Otto and one of Gortat or Mahimi completely.
Right.
And let's just say hypothetically you're able to do that. A big three of John Wall, Beal, and LeBron would be very interesting. I don't know scheme-wise, who's going to be handling the ball more between him and Wall, because they both I've yet to see either one really play off ball a lot.
Right.
And Wall is not like a Kyrie type where you give LeBron the ball and you just say, hey, Wall, stay in the corner, or hey, Wall, just go ISO and give me a bucket.
Right.
So schematically, it would require Brooks to be a lot more creative, which is what we're asking for now anyway with Otto Porter.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, man, those fast breaks, I think it could be something like what you saw with Wade and LeBron.
Oh.
Where two guys that are just very smart and they see the floor well, very athletic, when they get that ball off the rim, they're gone.
Right.
You're going to see a lot of alley-oops and I mean, it would be fun. It would be fun as hell, man, to see something like that. And just for what it would do, I mean, even a guy like Paul Pierce, who came here on the back end of his career just for that one season, how it kind of legitimized DC as far as the coverage nationally. I mean, you get a guy like LeBron here, that would set the table not just for what you were able to get that year with LeBron, but the years following LeBron leaving will legitimize you for free agents, because it's like, oh, well, LeBron went there. That's somewhere I can go.
Right.
So, I mean, it would be pretty damn awesome, and I think you would automatically put them at the top of the conference. I still don't know that it would be enough to knock the Warriors off, because I feel like I would need to see what the cap situation, to see what type of supplementary parts you can add.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as shooters,
right?
Because you gotta have some shooters with LeBron. But if you get a guy like LeBron, shooters gonna want to come.
Definitely. So
it would be pretty. I mean, the city would be crazy. We would have so many bandwagon fans. You wouldn't be able to count them.
Right. Yeah. No. That would be definitely one of the worst things to come out of that. Obviously, it'd be like a treat to see one of the greatest players of all time, you know, wear the Wizards uniform and hopefully take us to the NBA Finals. But the worst part is going to be the bandwagons and then all the LeBron fans. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, if that's what it takes for an NBA championship, I would sign up for it. But
oh yeah,
yeah. I agree with you schematically. I struggle to see how the Wall LeBron would work, because, like you mentioned, although Wall kind of does that now when Beal has the ball, he kind of just stands in the corner. Yeah. But he would not be able to do that with LeBron, and I don't think LeBron would let him do that either.
That's a very good point there. Yeah.
Right. I just think, like, LeBron would infuse a flame and, like, tell them their truths. Like, they're a really good backcourt, but they haven't won anything. So stop coasting through these lottery teams that are begging for losses. Start taking care of business. Make your life easier in the playoffs. Match up against the 8th seed, the 7th seed. And then you can, like, play the 40 minutes in the second round or in the conference finals and the NBA finals. And effort. Like, LeBron is not going to be quiet about, you know, Walls, you know, getting beat by no-name point guards night in and night out in a regular season, or, you know, Beal having an off-shooting night. So there's a lot that LeBron would bring outside of just, you know, his play on the court.
Yeah, and maybe getting a guy like LeBron, you know, off break, this is about winning a title. He's not coming here to get to the second round. Like, right. This is about winning a title. So we're not taking nights off against the Orlando Magic or the Phoenix Suns. You know, that's not going to happen with a LeBron-led team. And I think for a guy like Wall and Beal who want that stage, you're going to get it when LeBron on your team. You're going to get 25, 30 national TV games. And I think Wall is one of those guys, he's an emotion player. He plays off emotion. So you give him that stage to compete against the best, he's going to put his best foot forward. But sometimes to a fault, when he knows it's not a nationally televised game, when it's the Suns or it's the Magic or it's a point guard matchup, that's not really heralded, he takes nights off sometimes.
Right.
And you're not going to do that with LeBron James on your team. So I think just off LeBron presence alone, you're talking about a netting of 10 to 15 wins.
Right. I mean, so, yeah, because you look at the Raptors' record, and a majority of their wins came from taking care of business against the 500 teams. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like it was somewhere around the 38 win range that they won against under 500 teams.
That's, yeah, they had 60% of their wins came from below 500 teams.
Exactly. And so, although, you know, you can make fun of them all, we can make fun of them all we want because, like, they got swept by LeBron again, but they did what they had to do. They took care of business, and they ended up, you know, with the one seed. Now, it didn't work out because, you know, I think they're kind of overrated for who they are. But, yeah, like, I just – the other thing that I would fear with a Wall and LeBron team-up is – I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast. I don't know how it would work with Wall and Beal adding like a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron James. Kawhi Leonard a little bit different, but like a LeBron James or DeMarcus Cousins. Because Wall and Beal, they have egos and they're the alphas. But someone like LeBron James comes in with his three rings and, you know, his multi-billion dollar, you know, just image, and you have to be humbled. You can't go up to LeBron and say, you know, I'm better than you. Like, I'm the best point guard in the NBA. And LeBron is just going to, you know, swat whatever you're bringing into the paint. A part of me thinks that if we were to acquire a third star, in this case, LeBron James, it takes, I don't think enough credit is given to the Miami Heat, you know, Wade, LeBron, and Bosch. Bosch had to take a cut. He took a massive, you know, amount of heat. You know, that sucks that I said that because it's Miami. But he took a massive amount of, you know, hate from, you know, NBA fans, from the media for his play. But somebody had to sacrifice the load. And
yeah,
I don't know if Wall and Beal are players that can sacrifice a load. Like, I feel like there'd be a lot of, you know, ego checking, and it'd be one of those seasons where, like, maybe the first 25 games, you know, the Wizards are 500 or below, but then they figure it out, because then, you know, that's how it normally works out. Because the Miami Heat, you know, they didn't work out their first half of the season together.
Yeah.
But then,
I think, you know, they were a 500 team, like, the first 2 months.
Right, and people were making fun of them left and right, but, you know.
It was one thing interesting. I was listening to Chris Bosh, because it's a narrative out there that Chris Bosh was a worse player when he got to the Heat, and he said something on FS1. He was saying how when he came into his role there in Miami, it required him to do more while getting the ball less. So when he was in Toronto, he said he could just camp on the block, he'd get the ball, he'd do his move, and he'd go over the right shoulder, left shoulder, and try to score. He didn't really have to play defense. He didn't have to switch on pick and rolls. He didn't really have to do any of that. He said when he got to Miami, he had to shoot from all areas on the floor. He had to guard pick and rolls. He had to switch. He had to play some center, some power forward. He had to get his shots most all over the floor in various places on the block, the wing, mid-range. And he had to do that more efficiently on less touches. And it's hard for some people to make that adjustment. So I do see what you're saying as far as Wall and Beal. Would they be able to kind of take that role where, hey, Bill, you got to guard, you got to lock your man down, hold him under 15 points, and you got to go get me 20 points on 48% shooting.
Right.
Wall, you got to go lock your man down and go get me 18 points and shoot north of 45% from the field. I mean, that's what it would mean if you're talking about competing for a title with a guy like LeBron on your team. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah,
some guys aren't built for it, but I think Wall and Beal got the. I think they'd be down for it.
There's definitely a lot to look forward to. There's definitely a lot of questions. There is an off season approaching where, you know, it can be another heart. It can be another dagger in our hearts with another wasted year of Wall and Beal.
gonna be another year of excuses. Like maybe this year nobody talked about how Bradley Beal has been healthy the past couple seasons. Like he wasn't healthy his whole career before then. You know, right. there's a lot of you can look at it half glass full, half glass empty. But right. Regardless, we'll be here to bring you coverage on everything. Summer ball is starting first week of July. The NBA draft is coming up. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of prospects on the summer league team that we can look at and possibly plug in. One suggestion for the off season: do not fall in love with workout videos, because we saw how that goes with John Wall. Wolf season. I don't know about you, Damo, but when I saw those videos last year, I was like, "Whoo!" Wall looks like he is ready to take over the league, and then he pushed it too much. There was a knee injury, and that was that. But Damo, go ahead and plug yourself one last time before we sign off here. Give us your Twitter handle, and then anything else that you would like to plug.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a guy on Twitter that loves Wizards. So I mean, if guys, if you like Wizards basketball, I definitely talk about them a lot. That's pretty much my entire timeline. So yeah, Damo, Domo underscore LXXXVI. It's Roman numeral of 1986, the year I was born. And yeah, that's it. I always try to keep it funky, keep it as 100 as possible. And that goes from John Wall all the way down to Jason Smith.
Awesome. Awesome. The perfect plug. I didn't even tell him about this, but we will be having an episode brought to you by Becca MVP about Jason Smith coming out. So definitely stay tuned for that. Next week, we got a bunch of fun stuff planned. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes too. We love reading the reviews. We love, you know, getting feedback. What should we do better? What should we do less of? What should we do more of? And I am your host at District Mamba. My name is Arthur Reynault. Thank you very much for joining me. Damo, this went a lot longer than I thought it would, but that's what happens when you have two Wizards fans that want the best for the team. Make sure to give him a follow. We've plugged his Twitter account. It'll be attached to our tweet when we tweet out this episode. He's definitely one of the greats for Wizards reaction and insight and all that good stuff. So thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.